7th chapter of Matthew and verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 8. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everybody say that. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject, quitters never win, and winners never quit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. For many years, I staggered with this verse of Scripture. As I would read it, and I would look at it, and I would tell myself this. I said, well, Lord, I have asked many times, and I have not received. I have sought many times, and I have not found what I was looking for. And I have knocked a lot of times, and Lord, you didn't open the door. What's wrong? I thought that's what that Scripture said. To everyone that asketh, receiveth. To everyone that seeketh, findeth. To everyone that knocketh, it shall be opened. Oh, if we can understand those spellings of those words. There's a T-H on the end of it. And that T-H means a continual asking. That T-H means a continual seeking. That T-H means a continual knocking. Now, the preamble of this verse, Jesus gave us a beautiful parable when he said there was a man that had a friend, and this friend was hungry and needed something to eat. And as he came along the journey, he went to his friend's house next door to get some bread. And when he got there, he knocked on the door. He knocked on the door in the hours of the morning. And when he knocked on the door, he heard a voice on the other side that said, yes, who is it? Said, it's your friend down the road. I have a friend with me that's hungry and I need some bread. And he said, can't you go away and come back in the morning? I've got my family in bed and I hate to get them up. Go back and come back some other day. But on the outside of the door, there was a knock. He knocked and he knocked and he knocked and he knocked. And finally he said, go away. Go away. Come back in the morning. Did you ever try to sleep and somebody knocking at your door? Did you ever try to sleep and somebody just continued to knock? You might as well get up and open the door. You're not going to sleep anyway. I want you to know tonight that God wants us to get persistent. He wants us to get that God on the first seat. He wants us to go forward with a continued knocking and a continued asking and a continued seeking. Hallelujah. Why? Why should we do it? Because quitters never win and winners never quit. The devil will talk you out of it. He'll say, now you just can't do it. It's impossible. You've got too many problems. I want to tell you something, friend, tonight. You got a problem? Don't raise your hand. You got a problem? Goody, 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 goody. Ha, ha, ha. You know what that's a sign of? You're human. You're human. Hallelujah. We're not afraid of problems. Problems is not our problem. Problems are not our problem. Our problem is that we need to believe what the Bible says. And if we stand on what the Bible said, God said that he would see us through our problems. So many times we think the Lord's program and his word and his church is not supposed to have any problems. I want you to turn with me some scripture. Let's go to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I got something I want to open up here tonight. I want you to understand that when you get through tonight, if you'll tuck this on the inside, thank God, of your heart, the devil don't have anywhere else to go but get out. Just get out. Just move it. Go on. Devil, get out of the way. We're going to run right over you. When we find out what this Bible says and we stand on it, we're going to receive from him exactly what he said we could have. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, And verse 1. This know also, that in the latter days, and that last time, perilous times shall come. Now we know that. We're aware of that. We're not all frustrated because we've got problems. We all know we got problems. There's problems every day in our lives. We have problems every day at work. We have problems every day at school. We have problems. Of course we have problems. The more problems, the more glory God gives. Hallelujah! The more difficulty, the more God gives a chance to fulfill what He put it here. He said, I didn't come for those that's not sick. I came for those that were sick. I didn't come to people that were saved. I came to those that had a need. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to know, friend, tonight, that when we get this straight in our hearts and our minds, there's nothing that can stand in the way of what God has put in the church. No wonder He told Peter, He said, I'm going to build this church right by the gates of hell. I'm going to build it right here. I'm going to let you know that you can smell the smoke. You're going to be able to hear the cries and the screams of the lost. I want you to be disturbed. I want you to be concerned. But oh, I want you to know, to everyone that asketh, 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 shall receive. It reminds me when I was a boy. Oh, I used to have some times. My daddy was a wonderful daddy. And he knew that I was a persistent child. I was one of those children that didn't take no for an answer. My daddy would be working around the church. He built a lot of churches by hand and otherwise. He worked hard. And I'd be around, tagging around behind him. And I'd get up close to him. And I'd get a hold of his old britches leg. And I'd say, Daddy! 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 And he said, go on, leave me alone. Can't you see I'm busy? Can't you see I'm really tied up here and I'm busy? Go on! Daddy! 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 Son, go on away! Daddy, give me a nickel. Give me a nickel. Please give me a nickel, Daddy. What do you need a nickel for? I want an ice cream cone. You don't need an ice cream cone. Go on away and play now. I'm busy. Can't you see I'm busy? You think I'm going to go away? No, sir. It's either an ice cream cone or a whipping. Daddy! Daddy! Please give me a nickel. One of us won. There was no unsettled arguments. There was no unsettled decisions. We knew exactly somebody was going to win the duel. I want you to know tonight, when God understands that the church means what it says, and we're not just skirting the issue, and we've come before God, and we believe Him, my God will answer. There's nothing like persistence. There's nothing like asking, asking, asking every day. Every day, every morning, every noon, every night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every morning we go before God. Good morning, Lord. Here I am this morning. What do you want now? I want 200 in Sunday school. Hallelujah. You do? I thought that's what you wanted yesterday. I still want 200 in Sunday school. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want 200 in Sunday school. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. What are you talking about? I want 200 at Sunday school. I want to see God fill my church up. I'm tired of empty pews. Hallelujah. I'm tired of empty classrooms. What do you want? You again? Yes, Lord, it's me again. What is it you want? 200 in Sunday school? I heard that last year. I'm still wanting it. Hallelujah. I'm still here asking. Hallelujah. What are you looking for, boy? What are you looking for? I'm looking for that you told me I could have. I'm searching all over for it. Well, you was looking for it last month. I'm still looking for it. I'm still seeking for it. Where's it at? He said, he that seeketh, to everyone that seeketh will find. I believe tonight that when we get determined and desperate, God will give it to us. know tonight that my God has got the answer if we'll be persistent. But see, the devil scares us out with problems because we don't understand problems. Let's go to James 1, the book of James, the first chapter. I want you to look at problems different than you've ever looked at them in your life. James, the first chapter, and verse 2. Now, I'm not reading this out of my book. I'm reading it out of the Bible. My brethren, count it all sad and grumble and complain about it when you fall into divers temptations. Pray for me. I'm going through such a trial. My job's got so much pressure on it, I cannot even make it. You big coward. The church don't have any place for sissies. That old talk of saying that you've got to be a sissy to serve God, I don't know where they dug that up. You have to have a backbone of a saw log and hide of a rhinoceros. Hallelujah. And when you make up your mind which way you're going, I want you to know when the devil finds out that you mean what you say and you know where you're going, I want you to know that my God is going to answer prayer for you. Hallelujah. Because it's promised in His book. Hallelujah! There's something about the power of truth that He gives us strength. Woo! Oh, Lydia, kaya sata, sata, mama kaya sata. Hallelujah! Oh yes. Now, this is how we have church now. Now it's time for testimony service. And somebody stands and they said, oh, today I was tempted, but God gave me victory. Hallelujah. The devil, he tried to torment me, but God gave me power to come through it. And we shout and we sing and we shout and we sing because we was tempted. That's backward, isn't it? You're supposed to fuss and complain. He said, but when I come into these places, I count it all joy. Oh, what are you so happy about? I just had a temptation. What are you happy about, preacher? I was just offered a $50,000 a year job. And I didn't take it. Woo! Hallelujah! I want you to know, when you get your priorities straight, God will answer for you. Oh, hallelujah. Winners never win, and winners never quit. Hallelujah. We need to get our shoes on of traveling this word and let God anoint us. Hallelujah. And we'll receive that from God, what He's promised us. Woo! Oh, Jesus. Lord, help us. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, the 4th chapter. I want to give the devil a knockout blow tonight. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. And drop down to verse 8. Oh, yes, I know. We are troubled on every side. Yet, we're not in distress. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You know why? I've read the finish of this thing. I know who's going to win already before I start. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Had an old boy to come home from the Marines in our church. He'd been in the Marines. And you know, boy, he was a cocky little fella. Yeah, he said, I'd come to church, but he said, I heard always just sissies go to church. I said, what time you get up in the morning? Oh, he said, whenever I feel like it. I said, I'll be by to pick you up about 7 o'clock. I took him down to a health studio. And I said, I want to see what kind of man you are. How old are you? I'm 21. Well, I'm 47. I said, just follow me for the next hour. And if you're still with me, I know you're a man. If you're not, you need to go back to the Marines. You know why? I knew what I was doing. He was all mouth and no go. Now, we in Pentecost, we got a lot of racket and a lot of noise and a lot of confusion. And we sing like, my God, we're going to take the world. And we get outside and you can take a corn cob and a lightning bug and run you out of town. The old devil gets back in the corner with a pea shooter and shoots a few peas at you. And you go, pray for me. I just can't hardly make it. Nah, troubled, but not cast out. Problems, oh yes, we got them. We're not immune. But greater is He that is in you than He that's in the world. Hallelujah! And that power within us produces that. Woo! Oh, I got to go on. Let's go to the 7th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Oh, Jesus, help us. Verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glory of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all of our tribulations. Somebody says, Brother Mitchell, you're a smart aleck. You bet I am. You bet I am. You know why? My daddy will whip you if you don't leave me alone. My strength doesn't come from these biceps. My strength comes from within. My daddy gave me my authority. My daddy gave me my power. And don't you mess with me, because God Almighty is my daddy. Hallelujah! And He'll back up, hallelujah, whatever I do. Woo! Yes, you bet. I got a smart mouth. I got a smart mouth against the devil. You dirty critter. Put up or shut up. Hallelujah! Because we're not quitting. We're not quitting. See, so many of us, here's what happens. So many of us, we get a problem and we just fall over. Oh, I don't guess we're going to make it. Pray for me. Brother, as long as I'm breathing, you better get to moving. I had an old boy to call me up on the telephone, and his daughter had come to church and prayed through and wanted to be baptized. Finally, she begged her mother into being baptized. And then she got the Holy Ghost. And the brother came in and he got the Holy Ghost. And pretty soon the wife came in and she got the Holy Ghost. And the old man, he's getting mad. My God, your church is wrecking my home. So he calls me up on the telephone and he said, Preacher, if I ever catch you out anywhere, I'm going to whip the daylights out of you. I says, well, I can save you your problem. You only have to look around. I'm up here at the church all by myself. My office door is open. Come right on right now. Let's get the job over with. And you know what he said? He said, you're a smart aleck. He said, I'll be right up. I said, wait a minute before you hang up. Bring your lunch. It's an all-day job. I want you to know tonight that the devil is a dirty liar. He's a weak gun. He's a paper tiger. And God has given the authority to the church. And we will stand. God will give us the power of the powers of enemies. Woo! Hallelujah! There's nothing that can stand in the way of the church. I want you to know tonight that my God has equipped us to win. You let some people speak, and they talk like the church is anemic. We ought ought to be the biggest thing in town, the best thing in town, the most powerful thing in town, the best preachers in town, the best Sunday schools in town, hallelujah, the best workers in town, the best school people in town. Let me tell you young people something. If you've got the Holy Ghost and baptized in His name, you ought to be an A student. Well, as dumb as I am, I could do things that I thought I'd never do because of Him. Now, the devil, he just gets so frustrated. He gets so frustrated that he don't know what to do next. He said, verse 5, Paul says, for when we were come to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. You ever get tired? You ever get tired? Huh? You're tired right now. If I listen to this whole body, I just drop over on the floor. But there's something inside bigger than what this body is. Hallelujah. He said, I had no rest. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all of our tribulations. He's trying to tell us. But he said, we're in Macedonia. Our flesh had no rest. But we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings. And within were fears. Don't ever tell me that you don't have any fear. Somebody says, I'm not afraid of nothing. What and why does those goosebumps come up on you every once in a while? Why, when things happen a certain way, your heart starts double beating? You got everybody fooled but yourself. Paul said, yes, a little fearful. And I got problems on the outside. They're fighting me. But he said, nevertheless, God that comfort those that are cast down. Who does He comfort? Those that are cast down. For those that are cast down, comfort unto us. And you sent Titus, and he helped us. Now you see why we need our brothers. Hallelujah. You see why it's important to come to Sunday school conferences. You see why it's important to come to fellowship meetings. You see why it's important to have prayer meetings. You see why it's important to come to church. Because we strengthen one another. Hallelujah. When we come together like this, we go away from here as big as a barn. I've been in the workout chamber this week. Bless God, I've been punching the punching bag. I've been lifting the weights. I've been running the racetrack. My God, I got my spiritual soul all pepped up, and I'm ready to go. Now, you know how to keep it there? Keep doing it after you get home. Hallelujah! Keep doing it after you get home. And get a persistence inside of you. Quitters, quitters never win. And winners never quit. They just keep right on moving. Nothing stands in the way. We're on our way. I went to our church when we first started. It was kind of unique. When I first got there and got things organized and got down to earth of what was going on, we had 36 in Sunday school the first Sunday. And the church was in a spiritual and financial and a physical mess. I made a big sign about 2 foot long by about 15 foot wide. And it said, 200 in Sunday school. And I hung it up in the top of the church, across the top where everybody could see it when they come to church. And everybody looked at that, 200 in Sunday school. Why, Brother Mitchell, do you think we can do that? I said, what do you think I put it up there for? For my health? And so two of the fellas in the church... Fellas, I said. They weren't brothers, they were fellas. Because if they was brothers, they wouldn't have been talking to me like they did. They came up to me and they said, Brother Mitchell, we've been around here a long time. And said, we've never seen 200 in Sunday school in this church. It has been here long before you got here. And we hope that you know what you're doing. I said, I do. But maybe you don't. I said, listen to me. I got a little slogan. Get in, get out, or get run over. But we're going to do it. I want the devil to know tonight that even if I don't make it, this church is determined and destined to make it. There's nothing that can stand in the way of the church. We've got to make up our mind that what we're in, it's in for keeps. We're not trying it out. We're in it, thank God, to fulfill that what God has promised us. And so exactly a year later, we had 198 in Sunday school. And I got through that Sunday morning and I went to go to my car and here come these two fellas. Well, Brother Mitchell, I believe we're going to do it. They had 2 points faith. 198 that Sunday and 200 is the gold. That's about some of our faith. You know why? Because we're too lazy to put to work what God wants us to do. Oh, I want 200 in Sunday school. How many contacts are you willing to make? How much tribulation are you willing to go through with? How many tears are you willing to swell out of your eyes? How many prayer hours are you willing to stock up? How many days of fasting are you willing to fast? How many hours are you willing to work? Don't tell me you want something and you don't pursue it. I get a kick out of the ladies when they go shopping. They're so sweet. They go shopping with no money in their pocket. Look at that. Look at those shoes. Aren't they cute? I'd like to have those pair of shoes right there. They go in and try them on. Try on 15 pair of shoes and don't have any money to buy them. Come on. Come on. Here we are. And they go down to the dress shop and they go in, oh, that's a pretty dress, isn't it? And they try on this one and that one and this one and that one, and this one and that one. Come on, is it right? We have window shopped in Pentecost for years. We go to a conference and window shop. We window shop. We say, now, boy, that was wonderful. I wish I had a Sunday school strong. I wish I had Sunday school teachers in my Sunday school like that. I wish I could make that work in my church. And we sit around and wish and wish and wish until we're so old that we can't move. And we sit around and tickle one another and tell one another what we're going to do and pat one another in the back about doing nothing and get out and continue to do nothing. You know why? We don't want to work. We don't want to pursue it. You don't want to hit it. I had some young boys in my church that they wanted to run 20 miles. I said, well, you know how to do it. Every morning you get up and you run a block every morning. And every morning that you run a block, at the end of the second morning, add another block. Spiritual calisthenics. Hallelujah. Don't try to pray 3 hours until you've tried to pray 15 minutes. Don't say, I'm going to fast all week, and you haven't fasted a day for years. Let's get our priorities straightened out and determine that persistence and goal setting has to do with what I'm doing with my life today. And we're not going to quit. We're not going to stop. We're going to keep pressing on. We're going to keep pursuing. Hallelujah. Until God answers our prayers for us. The time is not the matter. The persistence is the matter. Let's go to Luke, the 5th chapter. Ah, Jesus, help us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. I want you to know that God wants to open up our hearts tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wherever you're at, start from where you're at and start pursuing. Don't try to jump the lake until you've jumped the creek. Hallelujah. Luke, the 5th chapter. And dropping down to verse 2 of the 5th chapter of the book of Luke. The 5th chapter of the book of Luke and verse 2. And he saw two ships standing by the lake. And the fishermen were gone out of them. And were washing the nets. You know why? They had fished all night and had caught nothing. Hadn't caught a thing. Here they were. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out just a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said, "Now, Master, I know this lake. I fished it all night long. I have been everywhere. I know all these fishing pole holes. I've been fishing them for years." He said, "I know all about it, Lord. Don't you understand? We just stopped to washing our nets out." Jesus said, "Yes, but launch out a little bit into the deep." And Peter said, "Now, wait a minute. Lord, I know that I fished all night, but because of your word, because you said so, I'm going to do it. Not on my ability, because my ability didn't do it. My know-how and my knowledge did not produce anything. All of my fishing tactics and programs didn't work. But because of your word, I'm going to push out just a little ways out into the deep." We need to get out of the shadows. We need to get out of the seaweeds and all the lily pads. We need to get away from the shoreline and quit catching tadpoles and all of those rock-headed bass that we catch around those places. That's full of bones. We need to get out a little bit. For the Master says, get out away from shore a little bit. I want to show you how to fish. Put your net over the side, right there on the right side. And when they did, they had so many fishes that they couldn't control them. Not because of their know-how, because they obeyed the word of the Master. The Lord has set the precedent. He has told us what to do. He's given us the command. And if we will obey it, everyone that knocketh. Yes, Lord, here I am. I'm still there. Yes, Lord. What do you want? I'm knocking. I want in, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm seeking for it. You again? Yes, I'm back again, Lord. I've made up my mind what I'm going to do. And you're going to give the increase. You said if I'd water and if I'd plant, that you'd give the increase. You said you'd answer the prayer. And so I'm going to seek for it until it happens. Oh, Jesus, in the name of the Lord. Romans, the 5th chapter. Romans, the 5th chapter. And verse 3. Romans 5 and 3. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. Pray for me, Pastor. I need patience. Put on your brass suit, friend. Oh, pray for me. I just don't have enough patience with my kids. Pray that I'll have patience. Tomorrow when you get up, they're going to scream all day long. Lord, give me faith. Look out, because trials are starting tomorrow. You know how you get faith? Through trials. Your faith gets strong by spiritual therapy. Trying out your faith. Bless God, working the faith. And then that becomes strong. And you begin to step out on things that God has promised you can have if you'll believe Him, because you're going to stand on it and nothing's going to stand in the way. But God is going to give you the answer. Tribulations. I'm going to count it all joy. 1 Peter, the 1st chapter. Hallelujah. 1 Peter, the 1st chapter. And dropping down to verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Our faith must be tried. It must be strong. We must be as pure gold tried in the fire. That's where faith comes from. The Lord loves us so much. This is what He does. Brother Elms, just help me here just a minute. He says, now here's a man of God. I love him. I called him out. And He puts him over here on the ledge, right close to the ledge. And he goes out and he says, now devil, he said, you see that fella? He's a man of God. He loves me. He's going to preach His truth. He's going to build a church in his city. He is going to have revival. I want you to know that this man lives right. Devil, I want you to understand it. And the devil says, oh, you think so, huh? So he gets up to him and he slaps him. And he hits him. And he pumps him. And he whips him. And he grabs a hold of him. Yeah! And Brother Elm straightens up. Straighten up, boy. Get your dukes up. Hallelujah. 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 And the devil comes back and says, yeah,
Yeah, let me attack his family. Let me attack his kids. Let me attack his wife. Let me do something to him. And so he comes back and attacks his family and his wife. But he stands sure with his shoulders back and his head up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? The trials of our faith. Hallelujah. It's what makes us strong. I want you to know that we're on display, friend. God's inheritance is in His saints. God's property is in us. And if we're God's property, thank God, we're the best. We can take it. God's going to give us power to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Now, when Brother Elms gets back home, woo, hallelujah, thank God, in all things give thanks. He didn't say because of all things. He said in all things give thanks. Thank you, Lord, for your love today. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy today. Thank you for your strength today. Thank you for your power today. Thank you for your glory today. There's nothing that can stand in the way of a church, of a saint of God, when they determine quitters never win and winners never quit. Nothing never stops. God's church is going to go through. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and verse 12. Verse 12 of 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. Beloved, think it not strange. Don't think it strange that the fiery trials, which is to try you, that some strange thing has happened to you. Now here's our attitude when a problem comes our way. Lord, I'm such a good person. I pay my tithe. I teach in Sunday school. I've been faithful all these years. Why do you let this happen to me? You know what you're saying? Why don't you let it happen to somebody else? That old dog that's across the alley, he does nothing but curse and swear and throw rocks at my house. Why don't you put this on him? Oh, you didn't say that, but that's what you think. And here I am, Lord, I'm so good. Here's the old Pharisee. Ooh, I fast. And I go to church every Sunday. And I pray. Oh, I'm holy. I wear my dresses long and my sleeves long. And oh, I cut my hair just right. And the ladies, I don't cut my hair. Oh, I don't even look at television. Lord, can't you see what a sacrifice I'm making? Oh, can't you see? Lord, I never miss a week paying tithe. It's so hard on my family to pay tithe, but I'm faithful. Oh, look at me. Oh, Lord, I'm so good. Oh, I'm glad that you've given us this beautiful church. It's so wonderful. Get off the pew, you little brat. Oh, it's so nice. Lord, I thank you for this car you've given me. It's so good. No, I'm not going to haul anybody to church that'll mess up my upholstery. Well, Lord, I thank you. You're so good to me. Oh, yes, Lord, I love you so much. And on the other side over here, here's an old drunkard. And he said, my God, I'm rotten. I wish somebody would help me. Oh, my family is torn. My body is wrecked. God, have mercy on me. God said he looks down and he recognizes the prayer of the sinner. But that self-righteous saint over there, his prayer didn't get out of the building because of his insincerity. The Holy Ghost in our ranks has been an end, not a beginning. The Holy Ghost has been a mountaintop experience to stop our walk. Now I've got the Holy Ghost. I finally made it. Everybody shouts because somebody got the Holy Ghost. But friend, that's just the beginning of the greatest life you've ever lived. That's the beginning of being a soul winner. No, God looks at the persistence. He doesn't look at the personality. He doesn't look at the job. He looks at the persistence of a saint of God and of a church that goes forward without fear of fable. Hallelujah. Quitters never win, and winners never quit. Nothing's going to stop in God's book because the church is going to win. Now we know what's going on. We understand what the Lord's trying to tell us. He's given us a great truth. If we will understand that truth, when He says in that fourth chapter and verse 12, the 12th verse of that fourth chapter, and He says, I want you to understand that, think it not strange when you have those problems. Verse 13 says, what you're supposed to testify, how sad it is. Tell everybody about your problems. Sit down and discuss them. And let's compare our aches and pains. Have you ever been with somebody and you see and they're sick and they're ailed? And one time I was deathly sick. I had taken a deathly serious sickness. I don't know, it acted like pneumonia. I don't know. My lungs was filled up. I'd been preaching every night for 90 days and I never stopped one night. And it rained for 3 weeks. And we didn't have all the conveniences we got now. And I had to go over to the house with wet clothes on, raining, and I took a death of cold. And I was laying in the bed, deathly sick. And I had all of these Job's comforters come in, visiting me. Wonderful people. Oh, Jesus, now I want you to heal Brother Mitchell. Oh, God, heal him. I know you can. Brother Mitchell, yeah. I had an uncle one time that had that died. Yes, sir. I'll tell you what. I know a neighbor of mine that had that, and he had it every year for 20 years. Once you have it, Brother Mitchell, you'll continue to have it because it makes your lungs real weak. Now hang on to this one. I had one lady to come in and stand at my bed, and she shut her eyes and she shook a little bit and she said, hear ye, the voice of the Lord has spoken, and you're going to die in 3 days. I want to know, and I want you to know, if you're dead, you're going to rise from the dead if you hear that. Brother, I was laying down in that bed and I come out of it. I said, I rebuke you, Satan. You get out of this house. Hallelujah. If I'm going to die, God's going to tell me, not some disgruntled. I told my wife, you close that bedroom door and don't you let another person in this bedroom. It's just me and Jesus until we get things settled. No place to quit. There's no place to stop until you can't wiggle. When you quit wiggling, then God will take care of the stopping. But as long as you breathing, fight. Fight. That's God. I'm in the will of God. I'm going to stand on His word. And nothing's going to come between me and what God has promised me I can have. Oh, you've got to know where you're going. God has given you a promise. And if you stand on that promise, the church of the living God has already appropriated. He's built into the church a mechanism to fight problems. Hallelujah. The third chapter of 1 Peter. The third chapter of 1 Peter. Verse 14. The third chapter. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. You might get a threatening note from the mayor. We're going to close you down. Until you lock that door, you got a madman on your hands. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to know the devil's a liar. He can't touch the church of the living God. God's church is divine. God's church is called out. Now I want to show you a trick of the devil's. The devil has a trick. Here's what he does to saints and to the church. He can't touch you. Did you know that? He turns up the loudspeaker and he says, boom! Nothing hit you at all. You just thought it was going to kill you. And he gets in front of you and he waves. I don't have to tell you nothing when I wave this around. I'm making you think glasses. I don't have to tell you a thing when I reach in my pocket and I pull out. I'm making you think money. I don't have to tell you nothing. Reach down here. Microphone. I don't have to say nothing. I don't even have to come near you. Just in sight of what's going on. And I can make you think what I want you to think. I can make you hear what I want you to hear. But he can't touch me. Resist the devil. The Bible said, submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. I submit myself unto his will. And Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Get out of here and leave me alone. And the power of God will give you victory. Reminds me of a story I read a long time ago. There was a traveling salesman that stopped by this hermit's house. And he knocked on the door and the hermit said, come on in. He come in and sat at the table, drinking a cup of coffee. He was talking to the old man about selling him some kind of merchandise. As he was talking to him about it, he noticed down at the bottom of the door, that he just came in, there was three holes. And he looked at that and his curiosity got a hold of him. And he said, old man, what's the idea of the three holes? He says, that's simple. He said, I've got three cats. And when I say scat, I mean scat. I want you to know, church, when we say beat it, Satan, he has no choice but to leave. Because God has given the authority to the church, and God does not take a back seat to anything that the devil hands out. Winners, winners never quit, and quitters never win. Nothing can stand in the way of the church. Oh, Jesus, here we go. Just stay with me just a few minutes, and I'm going to quit. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Oh, hallelujah. The devil's mad tonight. Oh, yes. He don't like this kind of preaching. No, sir. He wants us to have the money grubs. The blues. The Monday blues. Oh, yes. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And dropping down to verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptations also make a way of escape, that what? That you may what? Be able to bear it. Ha ha, devil. I don't care what you do and what you got planned for me tomorrow. God has got a built-in program and he gives me the strength as I walk. He gives me the power to stand day by day. He never gives us too much or not enough. He just gives us enough to sustain us for the day. He gives us enough to sustain us for the night. As we need the resource, it's automatically. It comes from the throne of God. Because in His church flows through the veins of that church the divine power and the glory, hallelujah, that flows, hallelujah, against every obstacle, against every problem, against every difficulty. For in those things we become strong. Paul said, when I am weak, I am strong. Don't mess with me, devil. For when I'm down, I'm tougher than when I'm up. When I'm sick, I'm stronger than when I'm well. Because God has put the power in the church. And when we can't do it no longer, God takes over and does the rest of it. And gives us power to stand in an hour when the devil would like to run you out of the city. But God said, you can make it. You can make it. You can make it. I'll go with you. Wherever you go, I'll go with you if you'll stand with me. The Lord reached down and He spoke to Gideon. He said, Gideon, I've got a battle to fight. Those Midianites are stealing our children. They're burning our crops. They're taking our wives. They're giving us all kinds of problems. And said, Gideon, I want you to get an army together. Well, Lord, how do you want me to do? He said, I just want you to go out through the countryside and I want you to gather you up an army. Now, let me use my imagination a little bit. And I'm going to use it Pentecostal style. Old Brother Gideon, he calls in a red-hot evangelist. They can play 15 instruments. The wife can sing like a canary. The husband's got charisma all flowing out of his ears. He's got talent. He's practiced. He's even went to Bible school. See, I can say that. I went 6 years. I went to 2 of them. Bless God, if you don't have the anointing, you go to 15 of them, it won't do you no good. Amen. I can see him. He's all set. Well, okay. Now, drummer boy, I want you to play on a certain beat. Bugle man, I want you to blow the bugle the right way. And guitar player, let's get this thing going. Let's get 4-4 time. Let's get something that's got a little zip to it tonight. Let's sing hymn 54. Oh, I want to see him. Oh, we remember last Sunday night we sang that and we really had a time. Choir, I want you to get a song. You remember when we shouted so much the last time? I want you to get that choir number ready and I want you to get ready. In fact, choir members, you know we shout on this one every time. So get ready to shout. Come on, stay with me now. Stay with me. Here we come. And so we get in the first bugle little program. Oh, we're in the revival. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And people just run from every direction. Emotional highs. Emotional highs. You know why Pentecostals feel so bad on Monday mornings? Because they have such an emotional high on Sunday night that they got the blahs all day Monday. The Spirit of the Lord is the same every day. It doesn't change. You can shout on Bible study time. You don't have to sing a song to shout. You can shout when everybody else is asleep. But see, Gideon, he thought he had it all together. And so they went along and they gathered 100 here and 100 there and 200 there. And they was gathering a little momentum. And the momentum was gathering. Oh boy, we're having a revival. Look at the people that's coming. Everything's working good. Fine, we're having a revival. Everything's fine. And the Lord stops and says, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You got a bunch of cowards following you around. Said, I want you to tell everybody that would like to go back home to mama and to the kids, that they can be excused. Out of 32,000, 22,000 people walked off and went back to mama. A bunch of Pentecostal sissies. You couldn't drag them out to a prayer meeting every night if you wanted to. But you get a guitar player and a band together and you'll get a crowd. But all don't call prayer meeting. Because if you call prayer meeting, who wants to go to prayer meeting? Who wants to pray anyhow? Why, that's not interesting. Go home to mommy. You big sissy. You don't want to be a Pentecostal anyway. All you are is a pain in the neck. Just go back home where you come from. Well, let's go, boys. Gideon, he said, well, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. The biggest split in Pentecost just happened. I lost 22,000 saints. Everybody says, look at Gideon. He's sure messing things up over there. He sure got a mess of things. Since he took over that church, it's just a mess. He is a real full-fledged fanatic. Well, Lord, I don't know what to do. Just keep marching, boy. Hallelujah. Wait a minute, Gideon. I got some things I want to talk to you about. Since you know what? Those people that's following you around don't believe the message. They don't believe in Acts 2:38. They don't believe that you've got to repent of all your sins and be buried in the name of Jesus and be filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. They really don't believe that. They believe that you can get to heaven some other way. He said, all right, take them down to the water and give them a water test. And he said, all of those that hold their sword and their shield in their hand, and they get down and they lap water like a dog. He said, you put them on one side. And all of those that lay their swords and shields down, and they take their coat off. And they say, oh boy, a time to relax. Hallelujah. Why, the Lord's not going to come anyhow. I've heard that all my life. And so we're just going to kind of take it easy. I've heard Him preach on that before. I know it kind of emotionally upsets me. But said, I'm just going to kind of take it easy. Put the water in your face and just kind of relax. Go home from this Sunday school conference and say, well, I just can't go along with what Brother Mitchell's saying. You know, that's just his idea. And so I'll just keep doing what I've always been doing. I'm not going to change because change hurts. And I don't like to be hurting. And so I'm not going to change. And so he said, put all of those that lay down the grass, he said, put them on one side. And he said, all of those that put the sword and the shield in their hands and lap water like a dog, and they were looking for the enemy. They was taking a drink and looking. Their ears was up. Hallelujah. They was trying to find out exactly what was going on around about them. Their eyes were searching. What are you looking for? I'm not going to let the devil get in on this. I drink a little water and I'm going to watch what's going on. He said, put all of those on the other side. And when old Gideon lined them up and began to count, his old heart, 9,700 of them left him. 300 of them. My God, what am I doing wrong? My God, I guess I'm going to have to water down my message a little bit. I guess, you know what I'm going to have to do is just soften up a little bit. It's too hard on the young people. You know, we're living in a different age now, and young people just can't live for God like they did when you was growing up. So now you better kind of take it easy on them. These 80s is real rough on our young people. Just kind of take it easy. Put the soft pedal on a little bit because you're running them all off. Well, listen, if your army's made up of sissies, you're not going to win anyhow. You might as well get the thing in gear and get it started the right way the first time. And Gideon said, okay, boys, let's go. Put your shoulders back. Get your swords and shields in your hand. We're going to fight the Midianites anyhow. Let's go. Hallelujah. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Wait a minute, Gideon. Stop just a minute. I got a surprise for you. You're not going to fight this battle. I said, all those swords and shields, lay them over there by that tree. Stack them up over there. Pile them all up. I got a secret about this thing. I'm the one that's going to give you the victory. Said, if those Mennonites found out that you boys did it, I wouldn't get any glory. And said, I'm going to get all the glory. Said, stack it all over there. And he said, I want each one of you to take a picture and a bugle. Now, the bugle is your witness. The picture is your temple. And there's a light in that picture. And that picture must shine forth so the enemy can see what's on the inside. And old Gideon said, put them on the hillside. Scatter them everywhere. I want you to scatter them everywhere. And when you break your pistol and you blow your bugle, let them all do the same thing at the same time. I want you to know when that 300 men heard that bugle, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, all over the hills, do-do-do-do-do-do, lights sprung out, temples were broken, clay fell on the ground, the glory of God shone forth, hallelujah, and the enemy was looking for a place to go, hallelujah. Oh my God. They was running everywhere. They was running all over. They was running over one another. Did you know the devil will kill himself if you'll let him? He'll destroy his own program if you'll let him. But he's got to find out whether you've got some persistence or not. He's got to find out what you're made out of or not. Do you have the promise tonight? If you have, God has given us power to stand against the powers of the enemy. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. I want my wife to come to the organ, and I want to give her a mic. I want us to sing, I'm going to win. Come on. Sister Mitchell, help me. Somebody give her a mic. Is that mic on the piano all right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stand with me, will you? I want us to get this army to give a signal tonight, because the winners are here. And when you go home from this conference, everything that you've written down and all of those truths that you got, I don't want you to let the devil cheat them out of you when you get home. When you get home, I don't want him to tell you, well, you can't do that. Well, that's for somebody else. That's in another town. I want you to say, devil, you get out of the way, because I am going to have revival in my Sunday school. I'm going to have an apostolic move in my church. I'm going to go home, hallelujah, and start a bus ministry. I'm going to start a Sunday school. I'm going to start picking up children. Hallelujah. I'm going to have apostolic revival.